Jeff Phelps, Andy Baskin, Dan Menigan, Meredith Kane. Happy to be with you here. We've been talking a little quarterback. Why? Because, my God, they need one, and by God, they have the second pick of the draft. Mike is in North Olmsted. Hello, Mike.
First of all, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
To you guys today.
Thank you.
You do a great job. I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you listening.
My pleasure. I agree with you. We need a quarterback, number one priority, but something that's very obvious in these playoffs. Got to have a great defense and definitely got to have a running game. And you see what Saquon Barkley has done, what Derrick Henry has done. I mean, Cook with the Bills. We definitely have got to find a really good running back in this draft. Where do you think we should draft one? And do you have any idea who's out there? Thank you.
Mike, thank you very much. Yes, they need a running back. Unfortunately, they need definitely one. And you can't bank on Nick Chubb. We'd like Nick to come back, be healthy. Who knows? I hope he is. This injury that he's coming back from, Andy, is minor compared to what he came back from last year. Maybe he just needs, you know, maybe it'll give him the extra time that he needs. I think you can go get a running back, Mike, third or fourth round. It's supposedly a deep running back draft.
Oh, you can't tell me there isn't anybody here that wouldn't be happy with either of the Ohio State running backs. Trayvon Henderson or Quinshon Judson.
I think that's true, but they're not the highest rated guys in the draft. Judkins is higher rated than Trayvon, actually, mm-hmm. by most folks. I personally think you go out and you sign somebody in free agency. I've seen Rico Dowdle from Dallas attached to the Browns. I think, really? Guy that I think might be interesting, and he'll get cut because of a guarantee in his contract, and he's not the guy there anymore. I think Miles Sanders is interesting, who was in Philadelphia, went to Carolina on a free agent deal, and then got beat out there by Chuba Hubbard after Sanders got dinged up and Chuba Hubbard, and they drafted Jonathan Brooks, who re-tore his ACL. They're not going to pick up the option on Miles Sanders, and he's already said, and I love it. After the last game of the season, he had a good last game, and he said something about running back starting, and he said, you know, I showed everybody, said, I, you know, this was an, because somebody asked him, what are you doing today? And he said, hey, this was an audition, not just for Carolina, but for everybody else in the league. And then he used some colorful language and basically said, I'm not doing that coming off the bench thing again. But he used some colorful language.
Sure.
And I thought, yeah, that's awesome. I think he'd be a nice addition for the Browns.
Here's the other thing,
Najee Harris from Pittsburgh. Just keeps stacking up 1,000-yard seasons, even though he doesn't average 4.5 yards a carry. He's available. There are a lot of free agent guys out there. Elijah Mitchell, who was really good in San Francisco and who Kyle Shanahan calls an absolute beast, he's out there. A.J. Dillon, free agent from the Packers, he's out there. Some of these guys are going to hit somewhere and be good.
Well, you're also spending money there, though. Here's the reason.
Yeah, but not much money, Andy. They're running backs, they're free agents, and they need gigs.
I agree with that, but I also think I don't know. I tend to want to lean younger on a running back, especially if you don't feel
like... Oh, they're going to. They'll draft one, and they're going to sign one in free agency.
You've got 100 through 103, right? So you've got, what, five picks through 103? You're going to tell me one of those guys isn't going to be a running back? Of course he is.
I would think there's a really good chance
93,
of that.
67, 33, and 2.
But take a look around the league. You have guys at running back who are doing competent work who are 5th, 6th round picks.
So you're saying you want a competent guy that can
I would love Saquon Barkley.
To see what happens with Nick. Yeah,
no,
I would all love Saquon Barkley.
I am eliminating Nick Chubb from my thought process.
Mm.
And why am I doing that? Only because of this. I'm not counting on him. I would love to count on Nick Chubb. He's phenomenal. I think he has Hall of Fame talent, and his injuries have kept him from realizing that. I think he has Hall of Fame talent. But I can't count on him. If he comes back next year and he's Nick Chubb again, Andy, well, then I've got Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery because I'm adding somebody else. And I'm adding somebody else who's serious, who I can go ahead and say, yep, I've got a number one running back. And if Nick Chubb comes back, it's like, oh, I have two number one running backs. That's what I would love to see happen here.
I get it. All right, let me go back to that question I asked you when we went to the break, especially when it comes to a quarterback. Let's just say the Browns do draft a quarterback. Like you, I mean, you are leaning towards that.
They are right? drafting a quarterback somewhere.
Okay, let's just say they draft
and
one.
And they're drafting two. A running back somewhere.
At two, quarterback, what is the pressure to get them on the field?
You and I differ on this. I don't think there's any question if you take a guy at two, you're going to play him sooner rather than later. But you don't have to put him out there for game one. And everybody knows that he's going to be the guy. So you put him out there when you think he's ready to succeed, and because you know he's going to be the guy. So I don't think there's pressure, Andy. And you don't put him out there when you think he's going to fail. If it takes half the season before you put him out there, then it takes half the season. You know, Patrick Mahomes sat his first year in Kansas City, and they had a competent quarterback who could play, Alex Smith. And I think the Browns are going to have that. If they draft a quarterback at two, they're gonna sign a veteran free agent who can come in and win you some games. That it's going to happen. And so I know that you feel that there's huge pressure. The pressure to me is making the pick. The minute you make it, you know he's going to be the guy. It's just a matter of when. But then you also have to sign the right quarterback, and you'll do that before the draft, of course. Right? I would think you don't pull a Kirk Cousins in Atlanta and sign him for the ungodly contract that they signed Cousins for in Atlanta coming off a torn Achilles, and then draft Penix without telling Cousins. I would assume the Browns don't make that mistake. I would assume that they're going to sign the veteran free agent quarterback. Maybe it's Jameis. I would doubt it, but maybe it is. And say, hey, we're going to draft a quarterback somewhere. It might be at two. It might be at 33. It might be in the fourth round. But no, we're going to draft somebody. So if you want to take this gig under that circumstance, go ahead.
I just think, and it is a natural tendency of all ownership across any sport, that when you draft someone extremely high, you want to see them play sooner than later. And I think if they draft a quarterback at two, and let's say they do bring in a veteran to come in and start the season, I think most teams can ease back and go, okay, we can go 3-4 games into the season and not start our brand new toy we just got, right? Like, okay, we can hold off, we can wait. Green Bay is one of the few franchises I've seen that it has the patience. And having that patience, that franchise has been rewarded with victories. I know you don't want me to go back and look at what the Browns have done historically. I just can't see ownership here in town saying, we're drafting a quarterback at two and we're going to let him sit for a year, year and a half. I don't see it.
Except for one thing.
You can accept anything. I'm just telling you what I think. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I know, but that's what we do here. You say what you think, and I say what I think, and Dan says what he thinks, and then callers tell us what they think.
Yes, except for one thing.
It's this.
And I rarely think.
That's true.
It's this. Hasn't ownership shown incredible patience over the last several years?
On everything else except for quarterback.
No, they have.
Where's your quarterback patience?
Because they've been sitting there watching Deshaun Watson not play very well. They haven't had a choice, maybe, but they also haven't completely freaked out about it, because if they had, they would have fired their coach and GM. And as Robert Mays said, we don't know exactly who said this guy is going to be our quarterback. It's easy for the owner just to say, let's just say the Haslams insisted on Deshaun. Okay, well, how could they bail on it? They could fire the coach and the GM. You guys didn't make it work, so it's not on you. They've been very patient.
Here's what I'm going to say.
And they're patient now because these guys just went 3-14, and they're both still in place.
Jeff, I think if they were truly patient on the quarterback situation, they would have hung on to Flacco in the offseason last year and stayed the course with him until they thought Deshaun was there, or left both guys here.
I don't think that was an ownership call.
Well, it doesn't. It's an organizational call, whether it's ownership or not.
But they signed a different Joe Flacco.
They signed, a different Joe Flacco, I'll give you that, who didn't have established victories with the franchise already. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, that is fair. But
true patience would have been to hang on to Flacco to see what happened with Deshaun and then have to battle through and try to figure out, what should we do here? And if
Jameis was similar enough to Flacco, Andy, I think they kind of did that.
I don't know. I just don't feel the same way about it. And you know, and Jameis did have, you know, has had some significant seasons before he came here, but then we saw what it was when he came here, and then people were like, well, maybe Jameis is the future, and that changed about 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later. It's just everyone's impatient when it comes to the quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, even to look here and see that, you know, Baker was here for four seasons is out of the norm for the organization.
I will say this until the end. You can talk me into a quarterback at two if you're also going to tell me that you are going to walk out on that dais and you are going to say that veteran quarterback X is our starter and we will be bringing along the other quarterbacks slowly and just put the whole thing to bed.
I think that's going to happen.
Because
personally, I think that is. And I think we'll see that when free agency starts, when they sign a guy who you think, wow, that's a pretty good signing.
But if you start playing that game of, oh no, we're going to have an open competition in camp and we're going to do all of these, you know, different things and we're tracking through, that's where you start getting yourself in trouble, is because then you don't have a definitive plan.
But if a guy comes in, let's just say you draft him at two, and he comes in and he's really, really good in camp. He's really good in, you know, over the summer. He's really good in preseason. And they deem him ready, well, then you play him. But I
know.
Well, no. It worked in Washington. I know Jaden Daniels is considered a better prospect than anybody's draft.
I was going to say that.
I know that. But, you know, Bo Nix wasn't considered the best of prospects.
But that was the handpicked successor of Sean Payton.
Well, and luckily he was still on the board there.
Luckily. Everybody looked at him like he was nuts.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my point. You know, nobody thought that he was ready to play. They thought he was, you know, the experienced older college guy who's just like hanging on. But Peyton liked him, so he played him.
Right. If Kevin Stefanski bangs the table and says, this is my guy, we're doing this.
Well, good. It'll be his job if it doesn't work.
So you would rather go down that road of Kevin Stefanski banging the table and saying, this is my guy, let's roll.
I want them to have somebody that they believe in and they put on the field and he plays well. I don't care where they find him. I don't. If they find him at two, great. Go. Do it. If they find him in the body of Kirk Cousins with half an Achilles, fine. Play him. If they find him in Zach Wilson, who was god-awful for the New York Jets, but has spent the last year sucking up everything he can from Sean Payton. Great. Start him. I don't care. Believe in somebody and put him on the field and let's go win some football games. It shouldn't be this dang difficult. It really shouldn't. Obviously it has been, but it shouldn't be this difficult. And I truly think there are great options at all three levels. And you know my three levels: draft, veteran who's been around, and veteran who has not done very well yet. I think they're great options at all three levels. Ones that intrigue me. Let them figure out which one and then go for it. It shouldn't be that difficult.
All I know is that if they draft a quarterback at two, I hope that they could break the mold of what's been going on here and have a quarterback who could be here for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be new. That would be breaking
new. Which, by the way, you could also do with a guy like Daniel Jones or Carson Wentz. So, I mean, there are three levels here. Pick which one works and do it. Let's go.
All right. Well, see, the other thing that happened at the scene yesterday, too, was Andrew Berry was interviewed about Myles Garrett. He's not going to trade him. That's what he said. So what does that mean about how far away they think they are from contention? If you're going to hang on to him, how far away are they? Plus, Chris Rose joins us in the next hour. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.